Let's turn to John chapter 14. Now pay no attention to the numbers in your bulletin, because when I printed that bulletin, I thought I would be preaching this morning. And it was, I print the bulletins on Thursday, and it was Thursday afternoon before I went home that I talked to Brother Keith, and we set that up for today. So, what was going to be this morning's sermon will be this evening, John chapter 14, 5 through 14. But we're really just going to concentrate on one main verse. But let's read this entire passage. Beginning in verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now you think that would settle it right there, wouldn't you? You think that would be it. You wouldn't think that there would need to be any more. Well, the truth is, there doesn't need to be any more. That's all we need. But that's not enough for some people. And if it's not enough for you, you won't be saved. When this is enough for you, you'll be saved. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Lord, once more, we just ask for your help. God, help me to preach it, and I need your help, and we all need your help to understand it, and we need the Holy Spirit to change us by it. We leave it all in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you ask, oh, pardon me, and I was just thinking, did I turn that on? There's my answer. If you ask 10 different people who Jesus is, you will likely get 10 different answers nowadays. If you ask the same 10 people how to get to heaven, you'll get the same thing. You'll get 10 different answers. And the sad thing about the situation that we live in nowadays, and I can't say anything about the rest of the world, I've never been out of this country, I can't say, I haven't even been to that many states in this country, but I kind of know what is going on with my kinsmen, what's going on around us, and I think we would all agree that the sad thing is, if we asked our fellow Americans who Jesus is and how to get to heaven, we would be hard-pressed to find two or three people to give us a biblical answer. Most of the answers nowadays that we would get would not be biblical answers. When you're out witnessing to people and inviting to people to church, and people will tell you that they believe, or they'll tell you, they might even say that they're saved. A lot of times they just talk like they believe in God, and so then I ask them, I say, are you saved then? Oh, yes. I say, on what do you base that? That's what I want to know. Because I believe that a born-again individual can tell you why they're saved. I believe that if a person is born again, maybe if you're a new convert, you might it might take you a little while to figure out the best way to articulate it, but I believe that a born-again person can tell you why they're born again. You see, if you're having trouble telling somebody how you know that you're born again, then there's an awful good chance that you're not born again, because if you know what you need to know to be born again, you ought to be able to repeat it to somebody. But people will give you all these different answers, and they'll say things like, well, I had this experience. I know that God is watching over me because this happened to me and I didn't die. I was in this wreck and it didn't take my life. Or I know because I remember when my grandmother died, and there'll be some kind of story. You know, people have all the, I've always believed. What have you always believed? Tell me, if you're saved because you've always believed, what have you always believed? What is it that you believe? Well, why are you saved? What? How do you know that? What do you base that upon? Boy, I tell you what, you just got to dig sometimes. You got to really dig. And you say, well, what do you base that upon? Oh, well, we always went to church. Well, the question wasn't, do you go to church or have you been to church? The question is, are you saved? Are you born again? By the way, if they don't know what you're talking about, if they act like they've never heard the word saved, born again, believer, that's a red flag. You ought to be acquainted with at least some of those terms, okay? Redeemed, justified. Come on, pick one. What are you here? Do any of these ring a bell? But people have all these ideas. Well, if we believe, well, the Bible tells us that the devils believe. Well, if I am just a good person, well, good works don't save you. But if you ask different people who Jesus is or how to get to heaven, you're going to get many different answers. Now, if you ask Jesus himself who he is and how to get to heaven, you're going to get the right answer. You ask him, who are you? How do I get to heaven? How can I be forgiven? How can I be redeemed? How can I be justified? And now you're going to get the right answer, the only answer that matters. Why would we listen to anyone tell us something about Jesus that contradicts what Jesus says about himself? Think about that. Christ is perfect, cannot lie. Men lie all the time. Everywhere you look, men lie all the time. And if Christ tells me who he is and somebody else tells me something different, who am I going to believe? You know, it's kind of like this. Dave, when's your birthday? December 15th, okay? It's October 3rd. Don't tell me that. It's October 3rd, okay? That's when your birthday is.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. See, well, you quitter? Man. What are you, an atheist or something? Two birthdays, yeah. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Should have thought that one out. Okay, Dave tells me when his birthday is, and I say, nah. Somebody comes and asks me later, hey, you know when Dave's birthday is? Yeah, it's October 3rd. It's October 3rd. Dave gets a birthday card on October 3rd and thinks, what's this all about? Well, pastor said your birthday was October 3rd. Well, it's not. Well, he said it was. Well, it's not. It's, what'd you say, 15th, December 15th? Okay, I'm going to forget it. Don't expect a present or a card or anything. I'm going to forget it. December 15th. And Dave says, my birthday is December 15th. Yeah, but pastor said it was October 3rd. But my birthday is December. Who are you going to listen to? Well, we would say, well, we're going to listen to Dave. Dave knows more than anybody in here. He and his parents know more than anybody when his birthday is. It would be ludicrous to argue with Dave about his birthday. Okay? But what do people do all the time? Well, here's who I think Jesus is. Here's my opinion on Jesus. It doesn't matter. Okay, Christ said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't believe that, that's irrelevant. It's like you arguing with me about what my social security number is. Or a birthday or something like that. It doesn't matter. Now, you can argue all you want. You don't have to believe it. You can, and you can give all the reasons why you think that I'm wrong about my social security number or a birthday or something like that. But what matters is, where are you getting your information? And who are you going to trust? If I ask Dave his birthday, I can trust what Dave says because it's his birthday. Okay? Now, who else can I trust? I can trust his parents about his birthday. I can trust Angela about his birthday. These are people close to him that know him. Not only was God's word given directly from God to man, but we're reading the account from a man named John who walked with him and served with him. Just what he did. So we have what Jesus said. We have the account of the men who were right there with him when he said it. Who are we going to believe? I want to look tonight at one of the simplest verses in Scripture and most often ignored and denied. In verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I think tonight will be just kind of a reminder, maybe a little bit of a revival for us, a little stirring of just being reminded of some truths. And we always look at that here, at the importance of being reminded of things that we already know, because we are so prone to forget. And the devil is so crafty at trying to snatch things away, and the world distracts us. So we want to be reminded constantly and have the truth ever before us. Let's look at these three truths, these three claims here of Christ that are true. First of all, he tells us that he is the way. You know, there is one word, I believe, in this passage that's used multiple times in this passage that the whole, or this verse, that the whole verse hinges upon. And it's the word thee. In this whole verse, the word thee. Okay, well, isn't it important that he said way, truth, and life? Absolutely, absolutely. But I believe everything hinges on the simple word thee. Not a, not one of, okay? Thee. I cannot look at my children. I can't look at my boys and say, I can't look at Colin and say, that's the boy. Okay? If you have a, Mark could do that, Mark and Tony could do that. They could look at Trace and say, that's the boy. That's the girl. They just have one of each. I can't look at any of my boys and say, that's the boy. I could look at Ashton and say, that's the girl. That's the daughter. Only have one. But see, I have Colin, Alex, Clayson. That's one of the boys. You have to be very careful how you use this word, but that word ought to clear things up for us. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to know why this verse is so hated by the world? You know why it's so rejected? Because man, in his fallen, sinful state, does not want anybody telling him, first of all, what to do. That's how our flesh is. That's how we are when we're sinners. Don't tell me what to do. And two, when I do choose what to do, I'll do what I think is best for me. I know what's best for me more than anybody else. It's funny how that's the attitude of man, but they'll listen to Fox News, CNN, Oprah, Osteen, who you know, you just name it. They'll listen to a whole list of people except for God's Word. Don't tell me what to do. Really? You spend your day letting people tell you what to do. You spend your day letting news shows. You spend your day letting radio programs. You spend your day letting advertisers of companies and products tell you what to do and what to think. And then you come to God's Word. You can't tell me He's the only way. Well, I'm not telling you that. He told you that. I'm just telling you what He said. The way. He says that He is the way. Look at Proverbs 14:12. We looked at this verse here recently. We need to look at it again tonight. It's an easy one to memorize. Pardon me. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, man looks at things and says, I think that's right. That looks right to me. That looks good to me. I think that's what we ought to do. This seems to be the path in which to follow. And it's funny that so many people disagree on so many things. You know, I have my way, you have your way, and this guy over here has his way, and none of us can agree on it. But each of us thinks that our way is right. Okay? You find it in marriage. it's my way, that's your way. Well, why can't we get along? Well, somebody's wrong, okay? Somebody's wrong here. Either one of us is wrong or both of us are wrong, but somebody's wrong, because if we were both right, we wouldn't be having this problem. The Bible tells us here there is a way. And notice that Jesus Christ said that he was the way. And this verse says there is a way which seemeth right. Okay? There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. We're not claiming that there are not different choices, different possibilities, different ways that you can go. That's not the biblical claim. The biblical claim is not there are not other ways and roads. The biblical claim is only one of them leads to salvation. Only one of them leads to Christ. Okay? Is there a way to hell? Absolutely. Is there a way to destruction? There are all kinds of ways. What Christ is saying here is when it comes to forgiveness, redemption, justification, he says, ain't but one way. Okay? That's what he's saying. He's not saying that there aren't other possibilities, other ways that you can go. He's saying only one of them leads you to the Father, and that's him. Okay? There are places in this world, places in this country, places in this state that you can get to in a lot of different ways. You get out a map and you're going someplace, you might look at where you're going and say, well, we can go this way, we can go that way, we can go that route. There's plenty of ways. And then there are other places where there's just one road leading in there and one road leading out. You say, there's no other way. Have you ever asked somebody for directions? This kills me. You ask somebody for directions, you say, how do you get so-and-so this way? Well, you can't get there from here. Then I can't ever get there. Where do I need to go then so that I can get there from there? You know, you can't get there from here. Well, usually when people say that, what they mean is, you know, there's just one road in there, and you got a long way to go before you get to that road. There's only one way to get to that place. What Christ is saying is, you're going to be saved, you're going to have your sins forgiven, you're going to spend eternity in heaven. You're going to do it one way, and that is by putting your faith and trust in Him and what He has already done. The way. Think whatever you like. Think whatever you want to think about Jesus. Now, church, listen, you'll be wrong every time until you agree with God's word about who He is. God is not going to stop you from having your own thoughts and opinions and ideas about who He is. He's given you a free will. You can do that. You can think that. But that doesn't make you right. Doesn't make me right. To think correctly is to think biblically. We can think all day long. We can come up with all of these ideas about who Christ is. But until we agree with who He says He is in His Word, we're wrong every time. You know, we live in a world of what I call, well, I thinkers. And it seems to me-ers. Those are my words. You can use them. I give you permission. Well, I thinkers. What are the well, I thinkers? Well, I think that if a guy just tries to live right and keep the Ten Commandments, you know, he'll go to heaven. Well, that's funny. Nobody's ever been able to get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. What makes you think you could do it? Well, you know, it seems to me that God will just look at the good work I did, and I'm not as bad as this fellow over here. Yeah, but you're not as good as Jesus, and that's all that matters. I'm not as bad as, you know, it just kind of seems to me that if I do the best I can, the best you can is as filthy rags, the Bible says. Well, the Bible's like an axe, isn't it? Just chops your legs out. Every time you think you got something to stand on, it just keeps knocking everything out, knocking you down over. Oh, every time I get up, I just get knocked down. That's what it's supposed to do. You know why it's supposed to do that? Because you won't get saved until you're face down on the mat and say, I can't get up anymore. I've got nothing to stand on. I've got no place to go. And then Christ comes in and says, good, I'm the way. You have no way, no place to go because you don't have any other way. You can't do it on your own. But you know what? He says, I'm the way. I am the way. We can think whatever we want. What we think or what we believe about Jesus does not change the truth of who He is. I can spend the next year telling myself every day, Dave's birthday is October 3rd. October 3rd. You know, when this service is over, I'm probably going to think his birthday's October 3rd and forget that it's December the 15th. October 3rd, boy, I could tell myself every day. I could write it on the bulletin board back in my office. I don't know why I would. I don't care when Dave's birthday is. But I could tell myself every day, October 3rd, October 3rd, October 3rd. You know what's going to happen? October 3rd is going to come and go, and he's not going to get a year older till December 15th gets here. You can tell yourself all day long. You can tell yourself all day long. Have you noticed how many adults live in a land of make-believe? Okay? You know what? I've got a five-year-old, and he plays make-believe. He pretends. We all did. We were all cowboys, and I know you girls weren't. Well, maybe some of you were, you know, cowgirls or whatever. But we pretend when we're little kids. We make believe. But what happens? Every night when you go to bed, you're still not a real cowboy. You're not a spaceman. You're not a monster or whatever it is you wanted to be. You can pretend all you want, but you're not going to be that. Okay? We can tell ourselves whatever we want about Jesus Christ and who he is. But until we agree with who he says that he is, we'll be wrong. And you can think it all you want. You're not changing the truth. You go to the doctor and you get a diagnosis. You can tell yourself for the next year, oh, that isn't true. I'm not believing it. I'm not believing it. I'm not believing it. And you know what's going on? That sickness is still eating away at your body. Ignore it all you want. It's not going away. How does that apply to believers? We know how it applies to lost people. They can deny the truth of God's word. It doesn't change it. They're still going to stand before him one day. How does it change believers? Well, the believer, after he gets saved, now begins this journey of sanctification where God is changing him on the outside and making him a disciple and transforming him into a servant for him. And look, that depends on believing what the Bible says and who Jesus says he is too. It doesn't stop when you get saved. I can reject this all I want. In Sunday school, I said something about people who want to preach and don't meet the biblical qualifications of being a preacher, but they'll insist God called them to preach. No, he didn't, because he doesn't contradict his word. Okay? You can tell yourself from now until the day that you die. A woman can tell herself from now that, oh, God's called me to preach. No, he didn't. We know what his word says. Man's been married five times. Oh, but God called me to preach. You can say that all you want. You might get a church. A lot of them have churches. You might get a congregation. You might get some people to believe you. You're not changing the truth. Think what you want. It won't change the truth. What we think doesn't matter unless it agrees with what God says. Then we're thinking biblically. And shame on people who give advice according to how they see things, rather than telling people what God's holy, perfect, and settled word says. You know, people will ask me sometimes, and they'll probably ask you, they'll say, what do you think about this? What do you think about this over here? And what I like to tell people is two things. Sometimes I'll say, you don't want to know what I think, you know, because I'm liable to get in the flesh and think the wrong thing. The other thing that I tell people, and this is what I normally tell people, they say, what do you think about this? What I like to tell people the most is, it doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what God says. What matters is what God says about it. Let's go see what God says, and let's both of us agree with that and think that. Get in line with that. Okay? I think that if the weather's right, water temperature's right, the fish are biting, man ought to be able to call in and take a paid day and go spend a day on. I think a man, that makes sense to me. Ain't right, is it? I think a man ought to be able to do that. Well, I can think that all I want. It's not going to change the fact that you might lose your job if you pull that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Church, while you're turning there, let me encourage you in something. As while we're talking about being in line with God's word, when other believers, or even people that aren't saved, unbelievers, family members and neighbors and everything, when they have these questions, doesn't matter who they are, you have to understand, if they're asking you the question, that already means they put a lot of stock in what you think. That already means, hey, I care about what you think on this. And you've got an opportunity here not to say, well, I think you just go ahead and do it this way, or that's probably all right, or, you know, you ought to be happy and just do whatever your heart says and everything. Listen, or you've got an opportunity to say, what thus saith the Lord? Let's see what the Bible says. Let's look at it biblically. Okay? We got to think about that. When somebody asks our advice, when somebody says, what should I do? They are right there admitting to you, I care about what you think. I want to know what you think. Or they're at least wanting your approval. Now, they might get mad when they don't get it. But they are coming to you. Some of them might be in a vulnerable situation. And they're saying, hey, what do you think here? What should I do here? And you have an opportunity to take God's word and say, let's see what Christ says. What does He say for you to do? Because I didn't die for your sin, He did. I didn't write the truth, He is the truth. Don't get ahead of myself, we're still on the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 says this, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? If I give you advice, if I give you counsel, if I give you any kind of direction that does not line up with God's word says that's foolish. If I tell you what I think, the world tells you what they think, it's foolish. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Hey, the bookstores are full of them, aren't they? How to be a success at this, how to have be a better parent, and win friends, influence people, whatever that old book was, and power of positive thinking, and the so-called, use this term very loosely, the so-called Christian bookstores are full of them. I mean, full of stuff that doesn't even come close to lining up with Scripture. Hey, this is how you ought to do it. This is what you need to do. And they'll throw some verses out there. Well, I can make the Bible say whatever I want if I ignore most of it and just take you to a few verses. Okay? I can justify a lot of things. I can justify a lot of things if I just stay in one testament and don't go to the new. I can... Okay, but what's he say? What's he say? He says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. You take the wisest person that the world thinks that they have, and God says you're a fool. That's foolish. That's why we always, always, always come back to God's word. Always come back. We can't go wrong. We absolutely cannot go wrong. God will not stop you from denying Him. He's given us free will. He will not stop you from seeking your own way to redemption. Now think about that. He's not going to stop you from thinking whatever you want about Him. He's not going to deny you. He's not going to stop you from denying Him and seeking your own way to redemption, but He will deny you that redemption if you don't do it His way. He won't stop you from thinking what you want. He won't stop you from denying Him. He won't stop you from trying to find your own way. He will deny you redemption if you try any other way but Him. He'll let you go at it. Go ahead, try it that way. And when you realize, that didn't get me anywhere, you have to come to the One who is the way. He said also that He is the truth. Go back with me to John, but let's go to chapter 18. All right, you ever had this conversation with people? You're telling them about Christ. You're telling them how to be saved. You're telling them about the Bible. You're talking about a biblical matter. And nobody really knows the truth. You ever get that? My favorite one is, you know, everybody thinks they're right, so nobody's really right. I mean, come on, you Baptists think you're right, and Catholics think they're right, Mormons think they're right, atheists think they're right, so everybody thinks they're right. You know what that is? That's foolishness. That's the wisdom of the world. That makes sense to worldly people. That makes sense to lost people. It's funny how people say, think about these statements. There's no such thing as truth. To which you reply, is that true? I like this one. There are no absolutes. Are you absolutely sure that that's right? To say there are no absolutes is an absolute statement. You contradict yourself whenever you say that. Okay? People say, well, you know, nobody knows the truth, or you can't really know the truth. Everybody claims to know the truth, and you just say that that's the truth. Hey, this is nothing new. Look at John 18 and 38. Actually, go back to 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, but I should that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? See, it's nothing new. Christ just told him what the truth was. Christ is looking the truth in the eyes. And he says, what is truth? What is it? What is truth? Hey, you know what truth is? It's Jesus Christ. Hey, a lot of things might be true, but the truth is Jesus Christ. Okay? Remember this. God does not do right. Something is right because God does it. Right and truth are not a standard that God holds himself to. He is the standard of right and truth. There is not a standard that he holds himself to. He is the standard for us to try to hold ourselves to. And we fail miserably. And we say, I can't do it. And Jesus says, that's all right. I'm the way. I'm the way because I did it. I did it. There are those who claim that no one knows the truth. No one can know the truth. Hey, God's word tells us that Jesus is the truth. Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to? Has this book ever failed? Has this book... Can you believe some of the things that people believe? I mean, just some of the claims that people will make. I was just watching a few minutes of a... I try not to watch debates between Christians and atheists. If you look at them the right way, they're comical. But it kind of gets... It aggravates me sometimes. Just because you think, boy, can people just really be that void of understanding? Yeah, they can. They can. All right, but look, I was watching a few minutes of something like that, and this college kid stands up, and he's making these claims, and he says, since we know that the Bible isn't true because science has proven it, what? They just make those claims. They just make those statements. Show me how science has proven that this isn't true. The truth is, certain branches of science try to disprove it and are constantly in the process proving it over and over and over again. We're going to set out to prove this didn't happen, and they find out, it did. Let's find something else. Let's prove that this didn't happen. Oh, that one happened too. You know what the Bible calls it? Science falsely so-called. Okay? Now look. God's word proclaims that Jesus is the truth. If you know him, you know the truth. What does the very first chapter and first verse of John tells us? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Okay? So Christ is... referred to as the Word. And John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. And then what's it say? Thy word is truth. What is truth? Hey, Pilate, you're looking at him. You're looking at him. You're looking truth in the eyes. How could somebody look truth in the eyes and still deny it? Men have done it for ages, and they're still doing it now, and they're going to keep doing it until Christ comes back. Hey, how many times does a believer look truth in the eyes and deny it? Oh, it doesn't happen. I'll prove it to you it happens. You got something going on in your life, you got something you're dealing with, or you've got something you're not taking care of, you come into church, pastor preaches on it. No, that's not what that verse really means. No, that's not how, that wasn't for me. Now, that probably was for her. I know what's going on with her, but I'm sure that wasn't for me. It's a whole different situation with me. You know what you're doing? You're looking truth in the eyes and denying it. You go to the Bible and you're reading it and you say, oh, that's kind of, I'll skip that. You know what you just did? You looked truth right in the eyes and denied it and turned your back on it. Okay? We do it too. We do it too. Jesus says He's the way. He says He's the truth. Look at Romans chapter 3. You know how some people, it's an oddity for them to ever lie? And then there are some people, it's an oddity for them to ever tell the truth? My oldest brother was the biggest, if not one of the biggest liars that I ever knew. I'm not saying this like when we were little kids. I mean, even after we were grown. Okay? He was the biggest liar. This man lied so much about so many things. He had convinced himself. He had like an alternate reality that he lived in. He had convinced himself. Now, there were some things that I thought he was lying about that later on I got to realize, and that maybe might have been so, that might have been so, but the bulk of what came out of his mouth, you couldn't believe. I mean, isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? You know that saying, sometimes we say it as a joke, but it's true about a lot of people. How do I know he's lying? His lips are moving. That was my brother. Maybe some of you have known people like that. Maybe right now they're in your mind. Be careful. Pray for them. Don't get in the flesh. Okay? Look, Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, God says that about us. God forbid, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. You don't agree with God, you're lying. Your opinion does not matter. Brother Linus told me, he said that when he was in the military, he could say whatever he wanted to his superiors, as long as he began his sentence with, in my opinion. He said he could say whatever he wanted as long as he said, in my opinion, and then follow it up with that. Is God concerned with our opinion? Does it really matter? Hey, what did God just say? Basically, he said if their mouths are moving, they're lying. You don't agree with God? You're not just off track a little bit. You're lying. You might be sincere. You might be very sincere in telling someone how to be saved. But if it's not what the Bible says, even if you think that's what the Bible says, you're lying to that person. Well, you got to do this to be saved. You might think that's really what the Bible says, but if it's not, you're lying. Who never lies? Our Savior. He says He's the way, He says He's the truth, He says He's the life. Look at John 10:10. Pardon me. know, bumper stickers are a funny thing. And I realize that there are funny bumper stickers, but that's not what I'm getting at. They're odd because they tell you a lot about what matters to people. They tell you a lot about what matters. And I have learned that every single car I've ever seen, that the whole back of it, I mean the hatch, the window, and everything that's covered in bumper stickers, always belongs to some kind of hippie. It always does, every single time. But I know when I'm behind your car, I get behind your car and you got a bunch of bumper stickers, I can tell a lot about you from that. I mean, you're putting that on there to make a statement, right? We were driving through Amish country yesterday in Illinois. And I don't even remember how it got started, but Alex, and I don't even remember everything he said, but Alex starts joking about, like, if Amish had bumper stickers, and he was saying something like, you know, salt, those ones that say salt life, you know, for like the ocean and everything. He said, what if they had that on the back of their horse and all this? I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how it really doesn't make any sense in Indiana to see bumper stickers for surf shops and salt life. It kills me that we live in Indiana and there's like rebel flags everywhere. That one really kills me. Rebel flags all over Indiana. We didn't even come close to being a part of the Confederacy. But you know, you look at the back of these people's cars and it tells you a lot. And they'll have things on there, surf life, salt life, and you know, fishing is life, and live to fish, and all that. You know, it tells you all kinds of things about them. I know on the authority of the Scripture, and we don't go by experience, but if our experience lines up with Scripture, then it's validated. I know by the authority of Scripture, and I've put it to the test, and it works, there is no life apart from Jesus Christ. Okay? In salvation, He is the way, the truth, and the life. But I tell you this book works. You'll pattern your marriage after this book, it works. You pattern your children, how you raise your children after this book, it works. You deal with other people the way this book says, it works. You run your church the way this book says, it works. We don't know what life really is apart from Jesus Christ. Not only were we dead spiritually, the world had nothing to offer that was lasting. In John chapter 10, and verse 10, what does he say? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, this is salvation and beyond. This is not, you know, salvation's enough, amen? Salvation is enough because we didn't deserve that. Then after he saves us, if we become his disciple, then look at what he does for us. Look at how things turn out for us. You know, those of you that are married know what I'm talking about. And I mentioned this not too long ago, but you didn't know that day that you got married and stood before that preacher. You didn't know you could love her or him any more than that until 5 years went by and 10 years and 15. And I mean, you just thought, it can't get any better than this. I can't get any closer. And it does. It does. I know to some of you this is nothing. This is a drop in the bucket. But we'll be on 20 years next year. 20 years. And if you'd have asked me the day that we got married, or asked Amy, we probably would have said, oh, we can't love each other anymore. We're just so, you know, stupid kids, you don't know anything. 19 years old, standing there getting married, and you, boy. Now you ask me 20 years later, you know what I'd tell you? I'd say, when I look back, that doesn't look anything like love compared to what I know love is now. You know why? Because not only did he give me life, he gave it to me more abundantly, because when we said we'll do it this way, then he taught us what living really was, what life really was, how to have it more abundantly. Right here it is.
Right here it is. Boy, why would you hate this book? Why would you hate this book? He said that we might have life. In Colossians chapter 2, let's turn there, and this will be the last passage we look at, and then I'll close. Not bad, considering I didn't preach this morning. I mean, I know you all thought we're going to be here for 3 hours. Colossians chapter 2. And find verse 8. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. You know what that is? That's wisdom of the world. That philosophy. What the world thinks you ought to do. Okay? Vain deceit means empty delusion. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, here it is, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together. Quickened means to make alive with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You know that never gets old. You know that verses like that never get old. I could read that every day, 3 times a day, and it never get old. All. Isn't it something how those little 3-letter words, the, T-H-E, all, A-L-L, 3-letter word, all. Not some, not most, not all the ones before I got saved, but then afterwards is a different matter. All. You mean that? Yes, that one too. Yeah, but what about all? But surely not all. You know what? When I say all, it might not mean all, because I'm human. When you say all, it might not mean all. You know, we might say, I worked hard all day. Yeah, probably not. You probably took a break. You know. Or we say, every one of them was being mean to me. Yeah, probably three of them. Okay, we lump everything together. Not Christ. Not the Holy Spirit of God. When He said all, He meant all. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That's why Jesus can say He's the way, the truth, and the life. We were dead. Hey, it's not that we were dying. We were already dead in our trespasses and sins. That's what Paul said in Romans. We were already dead. We weren't on our way. We weren't on our last breath. It was over with. We were already dead. Christ didn't rush in at the last minute and give us a transfusion, turn on the oxygen, turn on the life support, save us at the last minute. It was done. We were a bunch of Lazaruses laying there dead. It's finished. It's over. As far as you're concerned. But it was really finished when Christ on the cross said, "It is finished." Now I put my faith and trust in Him. And what looked like the end led to the beginning. And He quickened me. And He brought... Hey, you know what I like? You know what I like? This word quicken doesn't carry with it that He made you alive again, because He didn't make you alive unto sin. Okay? You were born again, but you weren't born again unto sin. You're a new creature. This is new life. He didn't bring you back for the old life, new life. And it's only found in Him. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, do you think that this group's going to heaven? You think that group's going to heaven? I'll tell you what group I know is going to heaven. Those who agree with everything we just preached tonight and everything we just read tonight and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Do I think that there are churches who have some things wrong and there might be saved members sitting in the pews? I think that's absolutely possible, and I'll tell you why. Sometimes people get saved, and then somewhere along the line, get in carnality, get off track, get in a wrong kind of church. I wouldn't dare say there is no way that there is one saved person sitting inside that building, because only God can know that. There might be a very mixed up Christian sitting in there, someone who's been born again, but somewhere along the line, as in Galatians, someone bewitched them. Who hath bewitched you? Okay? And I don't know who those people are, but I can say this, that no, there is not salvation in the Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, the Jehovah's Witness Church, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the whatever. I can say that emphatically. Why? Because of who they say this man is, and they are wrong. And you have got to be wrong. You have got to be right about who Jesus Christ is, or you're not getting saved. If you're not right about who He is, the Bible tells us that to be saved, to put our faith in Him, what do we have to do? We have to believe on Him. You can't believe on someone that you don't know. You can't believe, if you believe on a Christ that isn't the Christ of the Bible, you're not believing on the biblical Christ, are you? So you have to be right about who He is before you'll be saved. If we're right about who He is, then we can be saved. There's no other way. Everyone isn't right. Just because there are so many different views doesn't mean that the right view doesn't exist. As we said earlier, people will say, well, you know, everybody thinks they've got the truth. That means nobody has the truth. That's ludicrous. That means that the truth exists, but everyone you've talked to has been wrong about it. Every one of us in here, we'll go back to the birthday. If we took Angela out of the room and let everybody else guess about Dave's birthday and we all got it wrong, every one of us swore it was October 3rd. I mean, we just stood on it. Does that mean that the man doesn't have a birthday because we're wrong? Everybody in here could be wrong about it. Doesn't change the truth, does it? And doesn't mean that there's not a real birthday. We could all be wrong about it. That doesn't mean the truth doesn't exist. Just because you don't know the truth, or so many people don't know the truth, doesn't mean that the truth doesn't exist. You know what that's saying? That's the same thing as me saying, Faith Baptist Church in Terre Haute, Indiana didn't exist until I came over here to preach for the first time. Because I didn't know anything about y'all. I didn't know anything about you. Nobody I knew anything about you. You were still here, weren't you? Just because I didn't know didn't mean that you weren't here. Christ has proven His claims. How? By His work. He talked about His work in our passage tonight. He's proven His claims because He fulfilled prophecy. His death, burial, and resurrection has proven who He is. And He continues today to prove Himself by redeeming lost men and women and changing their lives. And we have to be right about who He is. Let me ask you this as I close. Do you agree with Him about who He is? Or do you have your own way? Okay, if you're saved, are you still agreeing with Him? When He says, that's wrong in your life, do you say, you're right, Lord? You said it, so you're right. Do you prove that you agree by trusting only in Him and by being His disciple? Can we prove by our lifestyle? Do you follow and submit to Him? Because if you agree that He's the way, the truth, and the life, you submit to Him. And every time we don't, we're doing what I said earlier, we're turning our back on the truth. Every time that we don't submit to Him, we're saying, no, He's not right there. We can prove that we believe that He's the truth by being obedient to Him. No other way is going to do. in our lives. Let's pray, and we'll have a short hymn and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love to be reminded of these truths. And so often, it's not just that we love to be reminded, we need to be reminded of these truths. And God, I pray that you do the work that only you can do. The Holy Spirit would convict us and show us areas in our lives where maybe our life does not proclaim that we believe your Son is the way, the truth, and the life. Convict us and help us to get those things right. Help us as we go out and witness to be bold and to stand up and to proclaim to people that you are, your Son is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we can't get to you without him. And help us to stand firm upon your word. And because he is the way, the truth, and the life, it's in his name that we pray. Amen.